This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Would you like to make a profound difference in our country? Would you like to make a profound difference in your city, your community, your school, your church, your own family? Today may be one of the greatest opportunities you will have ever had to make that kind of a difference. And so I urge you to stay tuned, friends. Even as the spiritual father to America, many recognizing him to have been the spiritual father to America, has been laid to rest. The issue of fatherlessness is surging to the forefront. Fatherhood is scarce in modern America, and even more so now with the death of Billy Graham at the age of 99. He was nearly universally recognized as a spiritual father to the nation, even to presidents. But with fatherhood under serious assault throughout the land, what continued fallout should we expect in Graham's absence? Good question. We're going to talk about that here today on Viewpoint, and I hope that you're going to stay tuned because we're going to offer some hope and help for all of us in this tumultuous moment of American history, even as Nancy Pelosi says America's at the tipping point. The tipping point for what? Guns. Billy Graham, in many ways, led and even defined the American culture for nearly 60 years. He defined evangelicalism. He set a Christian example. He gave America Christian standing in the world. He was a model for Christian leaders. He was an example by precept and personal life for his sons and daughters. He gave spiritual vision to America and the world, and he gave fatherly spiritual warnings to U.S. citizens and leaders for 60 years. But there's a massive fatherly vacuum in our land. Since we the people have failed to heed Graham's fatherly warnings, fatherlessness is now said to be a national emergency. Think of it, a national emergency. Violence is filling the vacuum, yet we cry, do something. So what would America's pastor father, Mr. Graham, say to us even now in our grief? Well, very simply, I think he would say, fathers must return to the God of our fathers. Fathers must become more than sperm donors, providing moral and spiritual leadership both by precept and example. Fathers must recommit ourselves to marriage till death do us part. Fathers must restore the conviction of sexual abstinence and purity until marriage. That's what he would say to us today. Interestingly, 70% of fatherlessness is due to the combined effect of divorce and unwed childbirth, while 80% of all poverty in America is due to divorce and sexual promiscuity. So, with that having been said, with the passing of America's spiritual father and his burial today, in ceremony, having laid in state, there in the rotunda of the United States Capitol, are we going to allow fatherhood to disappear from America? This is Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny, and our viewpoint concerning fathers is, in fact, determining destiny. I have in my hands an article that came out by Suzanne Venker, V-E-N-K-E-R. She is not only a woman, but she is a mother. And she writes this headline, "The Desperate Cry of America's Boys." The Desperate Cry of America's Boys. She said, a man named Michael Ian Black invited a conversation on Twitter that began with the following statement. Deeper even than gun problem is this, boys are broken. She said, this is absolutely 100% true. But what did he mean? Well, unfortunately, Mr. Black quickly veered off course, and he began to talk about how ugly and mean and uncompassionate masculinity is. And so Suzanne Venker responds, the phrase toxic masculinity has become boilerplate language in America. But what does it mean? Well, it's a total put down to masculinity, a total put down to men, and ultimately a total put down to fatherhood, a devaluation of man and fathers in America. So, when Mr. Black said that boys are broken, indeed they are. But Suzanne Venker says the reason they're broken is not because of masculinity, it's because the boys are fatherless. So the solution to male violence is not to spout off drivel about the evils of masculinity. Broken homes or homes without a physically and emotionally present mother and father are the cause of most of society's ills. Unstable homes produce unstable children. On CNN's list of the 27 deadliest mass shootings in U.S. history, seven of those shootings were committed by young males since 2005. Of the seven, only one, that is the Virginia Tech shooter, was raised by his biological father throughout childhood. That means all the others were not raised by their biological father. Are we getting to see and make the connection? And life for Nicholas Cruz there was no different when he shot up 17 of his former student colleagues. So Suzanne Venker says America's boys are in serious trouble. Boys are experiencing a crisis. And at the root of the whole thing is fatherlessness. Indeed, there is a direct correlation between boys who grew up with absent fathers and boys who drop out of school, who drink, who do drugs, who become delinquent, and who wind up in prison, and who kill their classmates. Our daughters are not killing. Our sons are, says Suzanne Venker, and she's right. We have been playing a game, a very dangerous game indeed, thinking that somehow we can separate our sons from their fathers and think everything should be wonderful and cool and the society should go on in peace and comfort and lawfulness. Not. Arut Sheber, Israel National News, has a headline, Children of Divorce Are Crying Out for Help. Israel's teenagers fear their fathers will be taken away from them if their parents divorce. That's in Israel, friends. Oh, we're playing a very dangerous game. And God warned about it 2,500 years ago. Would you like to know what he had to say? We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today we're laying out a plaintive cry to America, Americans, and particularly professing Christians and their pastors and parachurch leaders in America. That's right. The curse of fatherlessness is upon us. It's absolutely upon us. It's not coming. It's here. the curse described by the prophet Malachi back there in chapter 4, verse 6 of the book of Malachi is not only upon us, but is decimating what was once known and even honored as a Christian nation. The glory of God once displayed from the land of the free has become disgraced, leaving the home of the brave lamenting over the violence that's terrorizing our streets and filling our prisons, my friends. Indeed, the curse is not coming, but is now culminating in overwhelming waves and could well metastasize into, are you listening, martial law, removing all conditionally guaranteed freedoms. We want to talk about freedom to keep our guns, and that's constitutional. But friends, we are playing such a risky game in decimating fatherhood that the net result of it all may be the ultimate loss of all our conditionally guaranteed freedoms. The primary fault and fault line does not lie with politicians, but rather with pastors and parachurch leaders who, for the last two or three generations, have progressively determined to please the culture rather than Christ, who was sent by the Father who demands obedience. The dissing of obedience to the Father, God, in the name of mercy, grace, and compassion has now brought the curse of fatherless upon us. And no amount of spiritualized rationalization can either relieve us of this responsibility or reprieve the mushrooming consequential curse. Our only remedy is repentance. Our only remedy. Fatherless now defines American life and culture. It is said to be the number one plague upon our entire country. And that's not coming from Christian observers. That's coming from secular observers, friends. Now, if you should believe that somehow in this program today I should express some significant passion, you'll understand why. Because, friends, we are on the cusp of absolute destruction. Did you know that 93% of all people in prison are male and that 85% of them have no father figure? Did you know that? Why aren't we hearing that in the news? Why is it that our political pundits are not talking about that? I'll tell you why. Because for the last 60 years, we have set up sexual promiscuity and divorce as an idol. We worship sexual promiscuity, and divorce is a representation, one corollary of that, and we have elevated them to a level of absolute protection no matter what else. No matter what else. And because of that, we have the curse of fatherlessness that's upon us. And it is a curse. From God the Father's viewpoint, the absence of or abandonment by fathers is a consummate curse. It's an ultimate and consuming curse on creation. And that's why God, through the prophet Malachi, said that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, in other words, before the second coming, he would send forth the spirit of Elijah the prophet to call the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest he strike the earth with a curse. Guess what? He's been doing that, but we didn't listen. We've had voices, even secular voices, that have been warning us about this for 40 years, and we did nothing. Even in our churches, did nothing. We're so busy trying to pander to the tender sensibilities of those who want to do what they want to do no matter what, that even our pastors have refused to tell the truth, the whole truth, concerning God's viewpoint, not just concerning fathers, but concerning our lives together, our marriages, the issue of divorce, the issue of remarriage, all of these things we refuse to talk about because we love the ways of the world more than we love God. So we have a choice. we're either going to be overwhelmed increasingly by the curse of fatherlessness, or we're going to turn the tide and we're going to return. God the Father says, right there in the book of Malachi, return unto me and I will return unto you. Return unto me and I will return unto you. You know what they said? You know what the religious leaders of that day said? Where shall we return? What do you mean return unto him? We're going to synagogue. We're wearing our phylacteries. We're going through all these religious motions. What do you mean return? You know what the very first thing Malachi said to the religious leaders was? You're divorcing your spouses with impunity. You're committing treachery against your spouses. And then you're whining and crying about the consequences of what is happening in your country, and I'm not going to hear you anymore. God said, I'm not going to listen to your prayers. Period. Not until you return unto me. Not until you decide to agree with my viewpoint. Not unless and until you decide that what I have had to say as father over the household of faith should be obeyed, not okayed. Now, I was reading, as I always do with my wife, through the scriptures, came to the book of Malachi, came to chapter 4, just before the 400 years of prophetic silence before Jesus showed up on the scene, and came to that passage before the great and terrible day of the Lord. I will send forth the voice of Elijah the prophet to call the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. I said, Lord, so many people are talking about that, but they have no clue what it means. How in the world are the hearts of the fathers going to be turned to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers if we continue on with the kind of carnage in dissing your word, refusing to obey your voice? How in the world is that ever going to happen? And he responded to me immediately. He said, it's only going to happen when the hearts of the fathers are returned to the Father, God the Father. Do you know what? If you think fatherhood and fathers have been debased in our culture, we did it first to God the Father. In our churches. Let me give you a classic example. Consummated in a statement that came out from a prominent evangelical pastor just about a month ago. He was promoting a new book, and he put in writing, he said, I love Jesus, but I don't much like his dad. In other words, I don't much like the Father. What did he mean? He was expressing a cultural rejection in American Christianity of the very fatherhood of God. And that spirit prevails throughout most of our churches and our radio and television programs and the books that are being written and sold and the conversations that are being had. The demeaning of Father God, as if somehow we can lift up Jesus and put down the Father. How can we think to do that when Jesus himself said, I and the Father are one? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We are all mixed up, friends. I mean, we are so badly mixed up. It's no wonder we're in such confusion. And if we as parents and grandparents are in confusion, and pastors in confusion, and parachurch leaders in confusion, can you imagine what our sons and daughters are in? How are they ever going to make sense of this moral and spiritual carnage that we have perpetrated upon them in the name of false compassion, false mercy, and then I'll do it my way philosophy? Now, because of that, the Lord put upon my heart to write a book. I have it in my hands. It's called Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts. I don't believe there's ever been another book written quite like this book. Others, leaders in our country who have read it, many who have endorsed it, agree. Most of the other books that have been written in our time are what you call culture war books. They're secularly oriented books, sometimes with a little bit of Christianese thrown in to make them sound Christian. But they're not spiritually minded. They're looking for practical 3 points and a prayer kind of answers to restore fatherhood and to make us into good fathers. Friends, we're way beyond that. We're way beyond that. It hasn't worked, and it will not work. We can't do an end run around the Father's will. Father knows best in the household of faith. Are we still in the household of faith? So here we go. Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts. It's a $23 book. This next week, two interviews are going to come out with Dr. James Dobson on Family Talk. I flew to Colorado Springs at their request 2 weeks ago to do these interviews, because after 40 years of Focus on the Family and now Family Talk, Dr. James Dobson knows that the root of our problems in this country is fatherlessness. And he said, Chuck, we've got to talk about this. And indeed we did. It will be airing March 5th and 6th on Family Talk, wherever you can pick that up. But in the meantime, I want to make the book available to you. This is a book of real answers. Real answers. Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts. This isn't just a lot of pontification or a lot of, you know, secular kinds of ideas woven together with a few scripture verses. No. This is the real deal. If we will respond to the message of this book, everything will change. Oh, it's not going to change in a moment. It's not going to change in the twinkling of an eye. But it will change. You see, this problem of fatherlessness has not come about just in the last 30 days. It hasn't come about in the last 10 years. It's come around about over the past 50 years. And Rome was not destroyed in a day, and it won't be rebuilt in a day either. $23 book, yours for $20 on the program. It's a hardbound book. As Malachi said, he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. Building an eternal legacy. There's a fatherhood crisis in America. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 1 in 3 children live without their biological father in the home. Indeed, a serious father problem is at the core of nearly all social ills facing America today. Because fatherhood lies at the very root of a righteous relationship with the Creator himself, the enemy of our souls desperately is seeking to destroy that relationship. And Hearts of the Fathers provides the view of God's Word, the Father's view of his Word, exposing the deception all around us and illuminating the Heavenly Father's perfect prescription for both a temporal and eternal legacy. Again, a $23 book, yours for $20 on the program today. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Ready a check at $5 for postage and handling. Indeed, America is at the tipping point, friends, but it's not about guns. It's about God. It's about whether or not professing Christians will truly return to honor the Father and see fatherlessness restored in our homes.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
Israel's children are screaming for help, and so are America's children. I'm looking at Arutz Sheva, Israel National News, just last month. Israel's teenagers fear their fathers will be taken away from them if their parents divorce. Why is that? Because nearly a quarter of a million people in Israel have watched a video titled, When the State Takes Away Dad. They didn't think teenagers would be affected by it. Oh, but teenagers have become the number one viewers of the video, and they're terrified. And more girls are watching the video than boys. Over a third of the viewers are teens between ages 13 and 17. Young men and women are watching the video, and it touches on what they're experiencing at home or what they've seen in their friends' homes and are afraid is going to happen in their own homes. The response from one individual said, the Knesset, that is the Israeli parliament, bears full responsibility for fixing this horrific situation. A lack of action is unforgivable, especially when these children are screaming for help. You see, it's happening all over the world. It's happening all over the Western world. It's the curse that has come upon us, friends, exactly as God warned 2,500 years ago by the prophet Malachi. We've been put on notice, and now we're living it out. We didn't think God meant business. We thought we could do things our way. We thought we could divorce and remarry with impunity. We thought we could engage in sexual promiscuity without consequence. Not. The consequences now are echoing around the world. What will we do? What will you do? Pastor, what will you do? It's not the Knesset that bears the problem. It's not the Congress that bears the burden. It's you and me and pastors and parachurch leaders who have succumbed to the ways of the world, who are, for whatever reason, selling out our children and grandchildren in order to preserve and pander to the tender toes of those that are in our churches, sitting in our pews, and we're in deep trouble. What is the alternative? Well, here's an alternative. Governor Henry McMaster in South Carolina has today announced he's pushing a plan for armed police officers in every South Carolina school. He says that's the very first step that we're going to do in all our counties and all our schools. Problem is, they can't afford it. It's going to cost monumental millions. Are we really going to be so short-sighted that we're going to look to placing armed guards and armed entrances and guard gates and all of this around our schools, and so on, while refusing to deal with fatherlessness? God must be looking down. The Father must be looking down from heaven and shaking his head in absolute fatherly disgust. How can you people be so stupid? How can you be so blind? How can you be so ignorant? A rabbi from Israel wrote another piece, Our American Kids, Our Culture, and Our Violence. He's writing to America. He says, when was the last time you read about an evangelical Christian American farmer or young Republican or believing Mormon or Orthodox Jew taking out his 9mm gun and murdering a kid in a drive-by shooting or over a drug deal or killing a bunch of school kids? No. Yeah, we're at a tipping point, all right, but Nancy Pelosi is absolutely 100% wrong. It's not about guns. It's not about guns at all. Let me just share some facts with you. These are facts, not opinion, about the state of guns in America. And I'm not a gun fan. You need to understand that. I'm not here to preach guns. But here are some facts. After every mass shooting event, before the blood even dries, the debate and arguments begin. They're always the same. Get rid of guns. Here's the problem. A firearm is a non-living piece of metal. It takes the action of a living being to fire a firearm, purposefully or accidentally. Criminals do not follow laws. Newly created and potential future laws will be ignored by criminals, many of whom are fatherless, friends. People who are not criminals do follow laws, for the most part. State and federal laws make drugs, illicit drugs, illegal. Yet, between 60 and 65,000 people died from drug overdoses in 2016. State and federal laws make drunk driving illegal. Yet over 10,000 people died every year from drunk driving. Murder is illegal. Mass shootings are murder. Gun-free zones disarm only those who choose to follow the laws. Almost every school shooting in the last 20 years has occurred in a so-called gun-free zone. Evil people do not care about laws or human life. Now, those are the facts. That's the reality. The problem is we want to look for a straw man. We want to look for something, anything, to point the finger at so we can avoid dealing with the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room, friends, is fatherlessness. That's what we don't want to talk about. That's what we don't want to talk about. I sent a piece to our publicity agent, a longtime friend of mine, concerning this book, Hearts of the Fathers. He wrote back and he said, David Popenoe addressed this more than 20 years ago in his book, Life Without Father. His analysis and conclusions have gone unheeded. He saw the warning signs in boys, which are now evident in many men. Still, nothing has been done about fatherlessness. Instead, we talk about everything else, as you said, the elephant in the room. Fatherlessness equals greater chance of incarceration, dropout rates, early sexuality, substance abuse, broken families of their own, depression, to name a few. So why don't we care? Every man and woman doing what seems best or right in their own eyes, ignoring the consequences. Faithfulness, commitment, respect, security, all missing from our modern do it my way, and I'm the captain of my soul mentality. As Dr. Phil is fond of saying, he said, How is that working for you, America? What does it mean to recover a godly vision for fatherlessness? Men feel confused and under attack. They have to apologize for being a man, being strong, taking the lead. The very qualities and characteristics the Bible encourages are now ridiculed in our culture. Women are usurping men as they did in the garden. We're ignoring the signs to our own peril. Do you think my publicist might just believe in this book, Hearts of the Fathers? Oh, you better believe it. Big time. Hearts of the Fathers, leaving a legacy that lasts. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to leave a legacy that lasts? Let me share with you a few of the comments made by Christian leaders in our land who have endorsed this book. A masterpiece, said William Federer. A must-read for every American. With prophetic insight, Chuck uncovers the overlooked issue of fatherlessness and its grave, devastating effect upon our country. There is no more urgent book that needs to be read, heeded, and taken to heart than Hearts of the Fathers by Chuck Chrismeyer. Doug Stringer, who is the founder and president of Somebody Cares, said, great book. In this present day, our need for godly fathers is greater than ever. And Chuck challenges us and reminds us that we cannot delay our calling. Now is the time. Time waits for no man to ensure leaving a legacy that lasts, and time proves men. Truly, we need a generation of champions, strong and valiant, who will rise up for the times if we're to leave a lasting legacy. Carl Gallups, a senior pastor, writes, Chuck Chrismeyer rightly proclaims, if the hearts of the children are to be turned back to the fathers, the minds of fathers must turn first be renewed. This book is a virtual treasure trove of comparable transforming truths, demanding that you read it with a highlighter in hand. Hearts of the Fathers sizzles with conviction, instruction, prophetic insight, and hope. We needed this book! Exclamation point. Well, they're not talking about me, friends. They're talking about a book. They're talking about a message. That's what we're here to do. It has nothing to do with the messenger. It has everything to do with the message. It's not about selling books. It's about proclaiming, delivering, transmitting a transforming message. Do you not think we're in deep trouble? Do we really think we can just continue to play political games of argument about guns and gun control and somehow expect this problem to go away? Absolutely not. Here are the answers in Hearts of the Fathers. A $22, $23 book. Here's for $20 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org, or you can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. The follies of fatherlessness are almost beyond description. Statistics showing the trends in our society, the simplest way to depict the dire direction of our culture. and they're reflecting the consequences of underlying spiritual strength or weakness. And so I want to share with you some of these statistics. They're incontrovertible. In other words, they're agreed to by both spiritual and secular observers. And I might indicate that efforts by pastors and politicians to trifle with these truths serve only to declare a steadfast unwillingness both to face the truth and to respond in any meaningful way to the truth that is literally slapping us all in the face. In the year 1994, it was declared the year of the Father. That was the year that I left the practice of law in Southern California, God having spoken to my heart, saying, "Son, you've been pleading the cause of men long enough. I want you to plead my cause in the land," as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation, America's greatest crisis hour. We had formed Save America Ministries in 1993, October. 1994. I removed, as God had instructed, from Southern California, 30 years of business, ministry, and political investment there, to the birthplace of the nation, Richmond, Virginia, where the cross of the covenant was first planted under these shores in 1607. That very year was declared the year of the Father in America, as headlined by Newsweek, October 31st, 1994. Here's the problem. Unfortunately, while attempting to bring focus back to fatherhood, it actually served more like a postmortem for fathers. Why is that? Because the reason it was declared the year of the Father is because by that time, we were already up to our necks in the tsunami of fatherlessness. And you can't restore things by just declaring a year to be the year of the Father. You have to understand what the problem is. And then you have to be willing to respond to the prescription of the Heavenly Father who created fathers in the first place. 22 years later, in 2016, while accepting a Best Director Emmy Award, Jill Soloway addressed Hollywood as the culture-defining people of the United States and the Western world, and here's what she declared: topple the patriarchy. It was like a declaration of war. Now, that's where we are. Here are the statistics. I hope you're sitting down. The United States is the world's leader in fatherless families. We took over first place from Sweden in 1986. More than 25 million of America's children do not live with their biological fathers. In 1960, the number of children living in single parent families was about 5 million. Today, it exceeds 24 million. No other country has a higher divorce rate than the United States. 40% of first marriages. That rate was only 16% in 1960. Over 40% of children living with their mothers have not seen their fathers in at least a year. 72% of adolescent murderers grew up without fathers in the home. 60% of America's rapists grew up without fathers. 70% of incarcerated juveniles grew up without fathers. Fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of school. Fatherless children who exhibit violent behavior are 11 times more likely to do so than those living with both parents. 75% of teen suicides occur in homes where a parent is absent. Fatherless children are 5 times more likely to live in poverty than children living with both parents. 80% of adolescents in psychiatric hospitals come from broken homes. Over 40% of American children are born out of wedlock, 70% in the black community. Roughly 75% of American children living without a father will experience poverty before age 11. And in our nation's capital, only 16% of the children live in a home with their father. What do you think, friends? Did the statistics tell the tale? It is now said fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem facing America. If it were classified as a disease, fatherlessness would be an epidemic worthy of attention as a national emergency, declared the National Center for Fathering. Fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem facing America. So what must we do? First, the divorce culture that we now embrace and have perpetuated by pastor and politician and people alike has to be rejected as fundamentally self-destructive to faith, family, fatherhood, and the future, because divorce is the leading driver of fatherlessness. Are you listening? False compassion is driving the lordship of feelings and destroying fatherhood. Second, marriage must be restored as the preeminent building block of a stable and joyful nation. Marriage was ordained by the Father, God, as the foremost means of displaying the fundamental relationship of Christ, the Son, to His church, the bride and children of the Father. Should be little wonder, then, that the spiritual attack on marriage should have preceded the calamitous attack on fatherhood. And Christ's church has a heavy account to bear as complicit in the carnage. Notwithstanding the continual cries to the contrary that only perpetuate, indeed facilitate, the erosion of the foundations of marriage, family, and fatherhood. Third, because marriage alone is the God-ordained relationship in which sex is sanctified by the Father, this spiritual principle must be restored, beginning in the Father's own house. Premarital sex. Going back in 1997, U.S. News and World Report had a cover story titled, "The Trouble with Premarital Sex." You know what they said? Adult premarital sex is the sin Americans wink at. What Americans? All Americans. Not pagan Americans. All Americans. In fact, the problem was so great that when the author of the article, which was the feature article, the cover story, wanted to get some participation from key evangelical, Bible-believing leaders in the land, pastors and parachurch leaders, they refused. That is, those leaders refused to comment. You know why? Because they knew their constituencies were up to their eyeballs in sexual promiscuity and weren't about to risk having any one of those who might sit in their pews or who might cause a donation to be sent to their ministry to turn their back because they were offended by the pastor or parachurch leader telling the truth. On this program, we tell the truth. We're telling the truth in love because tough love is the only way that fatherlessness will be remedied. Tough love is the only way that the divorce debacle will be remedied. Tough love and true love is the only way that the sexual promiscuity problem is going to be remedied. Next. The psalmist wrote, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" The righteous can do only what the righteous alone can do. And what is that? That only the righteous have either the understanding or right to do? Well, Only those in right standing on this issue before the Father can, as prophetic voices, declare the absolute truth of our spiritual demise that is defining our nation's destruction. Genuine compassion for the Father's heart demands that we confront the root of the carnage, not with cultural arguments alone, but with a piercing prophetic voices declaring the Father's absolute truth that alone will heal and make us free. And the Father is waiting. The Father is waiting. He says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Are we willing? Are we willing? Are you? Are you sure? The book, Hearts of the Fathers, leaving a legacy that will last. We're all going to leave a legacy. In fact, we are leaving a legacy. The only question is what kind of a legacy we're going to leave. Every day, we are laying the foundation for our legacy. Every day. With what we do, what we say, what we don't do, and what we don't say, the decisions we make or don't make are all setting the course for the legacy of our sons and daughters. Now, here's what's troubling to me as a father and as a grandfather of 10. I know that I'm going to bear responsibility before the Father. I'm going to bear responsibility for the Father as to how I conducted myself as a father and as a grandfather. Did I really live and display the values of the Father and His kingdom? Did I really display my love for Jesus by obeying Him and His word, just as He obeyed the Father to show His love? Am I willing to make the necessary sacrifices of time and treasure and talent, whatever, in order to teach by precept and example day after day after day? We are all going to give account, all of us. We dare not take that lightly, friends. You and I cannot control what our children or grandchildren do. That's a hard lesson to learn, but it is true. But what we can do is live our lives in humility and repentance in such a way that we don't turn them against the Father. Unfortunately, that is not the way Christians have been living for the past 50 years. And our children are proving it to us. Building an Eternal Legacy, Hearts of the Fathers. I have tears in my eyes right now, and perhaps a little brokenness in my voice because I know how serious this problem is. I hope you will take it seriously. You might want to get a copy for your sons, your daughters, your sons, your grandsons, your pastor friends. Hearts of the Fathers, leaving a legacy that lasts. What we do, we must do quickly. As a law enforcement officer, Bernard Carrick said, it's time for parents in our country to step up to the plate. Got to start with Christians. It's a $23 book, yours for $20 on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, and become a partner, friends. We've got to do this. Help us to get the message out near the way of the Lord. God bless and be a
blessing.
You've
been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.